and welcome back to the Counterpints Podcast. This is your faithful leader, Matt. I am joined by my beautiful, lovely, dare I say, sexy co-hosts. We've got Kevin. We've got Jack. We've got Casey. Good news, everyone. Counterpints is still around. We're still a podcast where we argue about the same stupid shit that we love to argue about, breweries and bars. But what's a brewery without a beer? What's a bar without alcohol? Are you guys drinking? Because I might be, but let's hear from you first. Kevin, what kind of beer are you going to check in today?
I'm going to check in my first beer of the month. No, just kidding. It's like my 500th beer of the month. It is Longest Night, a smoothie style ale with blueberry and banana from Pure Project out here in San Diego. Pastry style or a smoothie style ale, sour. Very good.
That does sound pretty good. Jack, you're on the board.
Yep. I've talked about this a little bit earlier. Came into a pretty nice beer trade. One of those beers is one from Matt's neck of the woods, Treehouse. Got a very hazy as my first beer tonight.
Very good one.
It's very tasty.
Yeah, I'd say it's one of my favorites. Casey, yep. Go it ahead.
Really good.
So I'm sticking to the Arizona theme so far. I'm going to be honest. I think I was telling this to Jack earlier. At the local shops, options are very limited for Arizona. You know, obviously going, and I think a little bit is like going from Colorado to Arizona is just, it's different. Got to remember that it's going to be different. So, but I found this one, Santan Brewing is the brewery, and it's Moon Juice, the Galactic IPA. So yeah, cheers, boys.
So you're saying that Arizona breweries don't have a lot of Arizona-based beer selections?
Or maybe it's the Total Wine that I have been going to that's just right down the street from me that doesn't have great options. I haven't been to a BevMo. I'm not sure if Matt and Jack, if you guys know what those are.
I've heard of that before. Are they drive-through ones?
There are some drive-through ones. But I haven't been to those. I don't know what their beer selection looks like in terms of craft beer. But it kind of reminds me of Hazel's spot that was in Boulder that we went and picked up some stuff for. So might have to try that out, but we'll see. There's also some bottle shops. They're just in Phoenix, so a little bit of a drive for me. So I haven't been able to get to those. But once I get to those, I bet those will be very, very prosperous.
Yeah, BevMo is like Total Wine, but worse. So just
don't get too excited.
Never mind. I know they were great for hard alcohol. That's where we used to go and get massive.
Great for hard alcohol, great for wine. If you want to get six packs, they're great. If you want to get singles, be very careful. And for six packs that are in the cooler, definitely check the dates on the cans and bottles. They will sell shit way past 90 days. Be careful there.
These are all things I need to know.
All right. This section is sponsored by BevMo. Go buy yourself some poison beer.
Sponsored by the guy who has a gift card, Total Wine.
I do like Total Wine. I'm not going to lie. It's always a good time at Total Wine. Also sponsored by Total Wine. All right. For my beer check-in, did we hear that right? A beer check-in? Isn't it dry January? What happened to that? Well, it's dead.
Fake news.
Is anyone surprised?
I mean,
not at all.
Yeah, we really should. How long he would have lasted? Because no one's surprised.
We should have done that. That would have been good.
Taking bets, that would have been funny.
But that actually would have been really funny, but not surprised at all.
All right, my listeners, I'm sorry.
He's a weak little bitch.
Sorry to disappoint everyone, but I only lasted 2.5 weeks into dry January before I found that the shakes began to set in, and my personality took a downward dive from which there was no recovering. So alcohol has once again brought me back into the forefront of being entertaining on the airwaves. To be real though, not drinking in January in New England fucking sucks ass. That is all there is to do when it's winter here, man. With skiing, fucking, and drinking. That's like it. That's like the three things. I think that was podcast listener Rich saying that about Buffalo, New York.
So instead, he's going to do dry May, everybody. So
okay, here we go.
Have a sober Memorial Day.
There you go. Definitely. I don't know. What would be the best month to not drink during? I was having this debate with my girlfriend. Like, if I had to pick a month there's like a reason to drink it almost every month.
January.
April.
Problem with January is there's nothing to do.
April's when baseball starts. So, nope.
See, April's one I think would work for me because, like, it's warmer. Now you got a little some more stuff to do. There's not like a major holiday in April, Easter, but who gives a fuck about Easter? I'm not religious.
I think Matt should have a punishment for failing Dry January. And I, you know what that is?
I didn't sign no contract.
I think his punishment should be he's not allowed to drink alcohol in the month of October.
Wow. No, that's one of my biggest ones.
Oh,
especially in upcoming October.
Yes,
I don't know. No, I mean, this October personality.
Well, maybe, no. Yeah, and he also can't have edibles either. Then that's because it's in writing. He cannot have edibles.
Yeah, you don't want to see sober Matt at your wedding. It's going to be a bad time.
I don't think for you. I don't think February is the shortest month. Like, you could not drink in February.
Yeah, I'm not doing that again. So it's really a moot point.
Yeah, I'm never going to do it again either.
I got like halfway in before I realized what the fuck is the point of this. I just want to have a beer. Like, you know, yeah, what? Weeks are
all
long.
You're gonna drink a shitload after.
And I will confirm that is what happened last week. So shout out to that Dr. Pepper that was spilled in the parking lot. Rest in peace.
Also, Kelly, rest in peace for dropping it.
So anyways, I do have a beer to check in. It's going to be, shout out to Kevin, called Going Back to Cali out of J. Wakefield Brewing in Miami, Florida. So a little bit confusing because of the brewery's location, but shout out to California.
I've heard of them.
Have you? They're pretty good most of the time, J. Wakefield. Actually, this beer came to me all the way from North Carolina. I brought it back in my luggage for Christmas and then forgot about it in the fridge. So it is a West Coast style India Pale Ale at 7.7 ABV. Let's get a quick crack. Oh, that's a little foamy. That's okay. We're going to drink it anyways. All right, boys, before we move on to the main body of this podcast, a quick shout out to our socials, of course, Instagram and Untappd at Counterpints, CounterPints. Go give them a follow. We post updates about the podcast on there. We're trying to think of some content in relation to this alphabet game that we mentioned in our end of the year podcast. The voicemail also remains open at 774-224-0708. Drop us a line if you feel like chatting. Read it on the air if it's nothing terrible. We also have an email at counterpintspodcast@gmail.com. I suppose we'd read an email on the air if you guys want to put those there as well. Anyways, we're doing a bracket this week, gentlemen. I feel like we haven't done one of these for a while. We've been a little draft heavy, as I know Kevin has pointed out. So we're going to talk about one of everyone's favorite topics. It's going to be Disney princesses. This is a very Disney heavy group. I think I found out over time, especially Jack, if I recall. So we're going to talk about a showdown between, we picked the eight probably biggest Disney princesses. I don't think we even really missed any here, frankly, boys. So we'll list them off here. We'll go in order. First matchup starts with Mulan from the movie Mulan against Belle from Beauty and the Beast. Next, we go to Snow White from Snow White and the Seven Dwarves against Pocahontas from, sensing a theme here, from Pocahontas. Next, we have Jasmine from Aladdin against Cinderella from, you guessed it, Cinderella. And finally, Ariel from The Little Mermaid against Aurora. When you don't hear the name as much, Aurora from Sleeping Beauty. Let's start this off with our first seed against our eight seed, Mulan against Belle. Which do you prefer for whatever reason you may choose? Combat ability, general sexiness. Casey, what do you think?
Yeah, so, you know, I feel like this is a tough one. I mean, I know we talked about it. We said these are probably the top eight or /8 that we could come up with. There's some other ones that you could argue could be on here, but these are the big ones. These are the heavy hitters. For me, I you know, I like Belle. I like Beauty and the Beast. It is a great, great movie. But I mean, Mulan, whether it's for her combat ability, because at the end of the day, she was a badass. She, I mean, arguably single-handedly defeats the Huns. So there you go. And then you add the little comedic piece from the movie, her little sidekick. And I don't know if we can recall back to some previous pods where we've had arguments about sidekicks and shit, but for me, the sidekick is great, but to keep it only on the princess, it's hard to argue with Mulan. So Mulan gets my vote. Move her on. Let's go.
Let's go, Mulan. Kevin, 1-0 Mulan's favor. You're on the board.
I'm going to agree with Casey and add one more thing and say I'm tired of Belle because of the Belle glasses face meme. I don't know if you've seen that. She's got her Wayfarer glasses on. She's a skeptical, got the eyebrow way raised, and it's just a stupid. It's a cause for some of the stupidest fucking memes around.
I have never seen this before.
I'm good Belle, with it.
Me either. What are Belle you talking
glasses
about?
Glasses meme?
Ahead and Google Belle glasses meme, and you'll see the face is once you see the face, you'll recognize it, and you'll have seen it before.
This is what it says. I had Stockholm syndrome before it was cool. She's supposed to be like a hipster. Is that what it is?
Yeah, pretty much that. It's the hipster redo of a hipster memification of Belle.
Men are too mainstream. I date beasts.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. There's one for Ariel's, also one for Mulan. Hers says, I'm so far underground. I'm in China. Got him.
Yeah, but they had to draw the glasses on the Ariel to make that work. The Belle one was just looked directly from the movie. So I'm tired of that.
She had glasses on in the movie at one point?
At one point, she might have.
Huh. Weird.
Been a long time.
Interesting. All right. Well, you learn about a new meme every day.
Either way, combat skills, stop the Huns, completely valid reasons. I just wanted to dogpile on while I had the chance and, you know, give Belle a shift there.
All right. See you later, Belle. All right. I'll go third on this one. I'm going to echo the sentiment that I think it's a pretty easy one. It's a reason why we did a 1 versus 8 seed here. I don't even like Beauty and the Beast that much as a movie, but Belle as a character, what's going on with her? She gets kidnapped. She then falls in love with her captor. Weak rookie mistake. Stockholm syndrome. It's just a bad look. She's probably one of the least empowering of all the princesses. And she's just boring. There's like nothing to her. She's like a housekeeper. Okay. That's it.
She doesn't get kidnapped.
Yes, she does.
No, she puts herself in captivity to save her father.
Still getting kidnapped, though.
I have a question for you, Matt.
More beta, putting yourself, get yourself kidnapped on purpose.
I have a question for you, Matt. If it was Beauty and the Certified Unit, would you like the movie better?
are we going to talk about how Monstro should be classified as a Disney princess? Because we can have that argument.
Well, that's just going to be a bit we got to do from now. We just got to find a way to stick Monstro in every single Disney bracket we ever do.
Really, really Gaston is the Disney princess of that movie, for being real, or that. The teapot.
That's funny.
A little too.
That's fucking funny. Gaston is the princess. I like that. That's fucking funny.
Love him. All right. I'm moving Mulan on for me. Just much more interesting character. Cooler. Does better stuff. Much more to that character than I think Belle was. Jack, 3-0. Mulan's favor. Can you sway our minds?
Boy, I'm telling you what, I need to rewatch these movies because I don't remember the plots of these at all. Like, I don't remember how she got to be with the Beast. I forgot the Beast actually was a real person underneath that thing.
That's a pretty big plot point. I feel like you should remember from that.
Nope. Beauty and the Beast was one of my favorites. I did enjoy Mulan. It's pointless for me to even talk more about this, but definitely a good point by Kevin there with that glasses meme. I do hate that. So, Mulan.
All right, memes working against Belle on this one. Mulan will take you with a 4-0 sweep-a-roni. Moving us on to the second matchup, Snow White against Pocahontas, which is our 4 versus our 5 seed. I'll go first on this one. I actually struggle a little bit with this one because really neither of these are my favorite. Snow White is, I think, what is their original animated movie that has like a princess in it. Very old. She doesn't really do that much in the movies when I'm thinking about it. She just kind of gets attacked by this hunter, runs into the woods, the witch is trying to kill her. She wanders around this house, starts cleaning it, because of course that's what women in the 50s did, I think. She just kind of cleans the house. It's kind of the movie. Like, it's really very little to Snow White singing with the animals, I guess.
I think this came out way earlier than the 50s, by the way.
Yeah, you're definitely right. I think it's the 30s. Yeah, I think we even have women in the 30s. When did they invent those?
Here we go. Good. And go to the last episode, boys.
and hashtag me too.
All right. So I don't know. There's just not a lot to Snow White, I guess, is my point. And Pocahontas is another one, a little bit like Mulan, kind of like a warrior princess. She's out there communing with the animals in the woods. She's a huntress and she's sleek and agile and jumping over tree branches. And she has that whole song with just around the river bend. That's a good one. And, you know, she's a pretty like low key, cool Disney princess, I think. More interesting than Snow White to me. So Pocahontas will take it with a vote for one. Kevin's got his hand up. Kevin with a rebuttal. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I first of all, I'm going to call my number. I agree with you. Pocahontas has the best sidekick ever, best sidekick duo ever. Ah. So this gets it for me, Disney, Miko and Flit. But I understand why you didn't pick
Snow
White.
Here we fucking go.
I understand why goddamn you didn't pick Snow White. You didn't pick Snow White, Matt, because both of you are undone by eating a piece of fruit. We understand that. That's so true. Pocahontas makes sense for you. Works for me too, because I like Miko and Flit.
It's true. They are some of the greatest Disney sidekicks to ever grace the screen. Let's go to the actual...
By the way, yeah, nothing ever proves as divisive for this podcast as Disney anything. Like, we can argue about sports till the cows come home and we'll be fine. But Disney divides us more than anything else.
All right. Well, let's go to the... Actually, I'm told the president of the Miko fan club, Casey, on the line.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Fucking sidekicks.
Here's the thing. I think, unfortunately, in both of these situations, the supporting characters are the best part in the sense of, for Pocahontas, it's not Pocahontas. It's the raccoon and a fucking hummingbird. Mm. Okay. And for Snow White, it's not Snow White. It's the Doors. Like, they're the best part. 100%. Like, their song is fucking catchy as shit. It's been redone a million times to, like, you guys remember, like, I-ho, it's off tour to go with razor blades and hand grenades and, you know, whatever. As a kid, you like heard that. Did you guys ever hear that song?
I do not remember that. Where did you?
I don't remember
that. That was the lyric in the show.
No.
I'm like, that's awesome.
It wasn't
Snow White.
I must have gotten the edited version of Snow White.
Yeah, obviously.
Released the Snyder cut.
Was there nudity in yours?
Yeah, there was.
Oh yeah, brother.
Maybe Snow White will witness that.
I'll say this: that hunter was hung.
Jesus Christ,
God.
No, you guys never heard that like song that was, I don't know, like never mind. That,
yeah, we know you made it up, Casey. Moving on.
But the point of the matter is the supporting cast is the best part of both of these movies. Mm. So that makes this really hard. I have never been a big fan of Pocahontas. But I did like the Seven Dwarves in Snow White. So for that reason, that's all I got,
huh?
Because it's they're okay shows in my opinion. I'm going with Snow White.
All right.
Interestingly, by the way, Disney decided they're going to remake Snow White.
Finally.
And it drew criticism from Peter Dinklage because they're casting dwarves and he's got a form of dwarfism, and go figure.
Shouldn't he just like automatically get that role?
I thought he would have been like one of the first people they called.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he's mad because he didn't get cast. That
yeah,
could be
probably.
Why.
I was going to say, let's ask a question. Yeah. Which dwarf would Peter Dinklage play?
Is there one called Drinky?
It would be funny to make new dwarves with Drinky, druggy, sexy.
There's Peter Dinklage's role.
Yeah.
Tasty.
Tasty.
Smelly.
No.
Fatty.
I got one in my head I can't say. All right. Moving on.
See? No.
Wasn't it, but that's pretty good.
Body.
And I was also thinking of Poopy.
No, yeah, right. Poopy.
Poopy the dwarves. God damn, we need to move on. All right. We've got 2-1. Pocahontas' favor. Let's move to Jack.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I'd probably go Snow White, but she's got to be penalized for one very important error that she made. Don't ever open the door for strangers. My God. Like, even now with delivery apps, like, if they ever knock on the door, you just got to be like, what the hell are you doing?
It annoys the shit out of me when they do that. Like, don't make me come downstairs. Leave it at the door.
Just leave the food at the door and leave. Like, old lady, if you want to give me the apple, just leave it and get the fuck out of here. Why would you talk to her?
I'll eat it later.
Yeah, so for that reason alone, Pocahontas wins.
True, Pocahontas caught her own food, so she didn't even need DoorDash. All right, that gives Pocahontas a 3-1 win over Snow White, bringing us to the third matchup, Jasmine against Cinderella. Let's rapid fire it right back to Jack.
Well, boys, you know, let's be serious here. If we're thinking, like, which of these is the most attractive, I mean,
That's what I've been doing the whole time.
This is, you know, it's Jasmine. Everyone's real first crush. The midriff, all that stuff. Yeah,
mine was Kim Possible.
Tiger. All right. Jasmine's getting my vote here.
What the fuck years is Kim Possible?
Oh, yeah. And I was like,
she's not a Disney princess.
She was on the Disney Channel, though. So close.
I would have thought he would have said the Tiger.
So was like Chippendale.
She's my, if we're going to talk about Gadget, let's have that conversation. She never wore pants. I know she did wear pants, didn't she? Chippendale didn't wear pants.
Impossible. Interesting.
We'll dive into these. We could have like a sexiest cartoon bracket at some point. Do that.
Oh, Jesus. Once again, Jasmine, because she was probably, the most attractive cartoon princess, and she had a pet tiger.
That is pretty sweet. And a rich dad. Okay, so I'll go second on this one. I actually, I was thinking about it, and we put Jasmine down as the second seed. I mean, obviously a very popular one, as Jack said, one of the better looking ones, absolutely. But I was trying to think about this. I feel like Jasmine doesn't do much in the movie, in Aladdin. Like, she's just more like running away from the dad and Jafar in the beginning and runs to Aladdin as like a street rat, and he falls in love with her because she's obviously attractive. And they go on the magic carpet ride, yada, yada. But like, I'm sitting there going, like, she looks cool as a character, but like kind of doesn't do anything in my opinion. And I was sitting there, I'm like, I think I like Cinderella better. Like, she's like a hardworking stiff who's getting shit on by the stepmom. And she's just like wants to get to this ball and meet the prince. And I'm like, you know what? Something about Cinderella's middle class, working class struggle has me sympathetic to her over Jasmine, who's just kind of like a rich bitch who just like falls in love with a poor guy to make her dad mad. We've all seen that happen before. So you know what? I'm putting one in for Cindy on this one. Kind of like Cinderella. Also, the sidekicks are funny. Kevin, go ahead.
You hit on something interesting here. So Cinderella is constantly shit on in that movie, right? Takes a lot of crap from everybody. The cat apparently named, was named Lucifer. Ah, and she was happy scrubbing pots and pans and floors and stuff like that. And she was happy the entire time, which is very suspicious. How are you that happy being that much of a whipping girl the entire movie? I don't trust her. I'm going with Jasmine because she is, and I know this phrase is going to get clipped and used inappropriately, but she is the sexiest of the Disney princesses.
All right. She just is. Time to hold that against Kevin for a while. Perfect. All right. So we've got two on the board. We've got some very horny people in here for Jasmine. Casey, how's it looking downstairs? What's your vote?
How's it looking downstairs?
Yeah. Think about it.
Long and strong.
Yeah, we're getting fucking canceled. Jesus.
We're getting a little punchy in episode 60.
Yeah. To be honest, both solid princesses, great movies, both of them. I agree with a number of the points that have been brought up on both sides, but there's one that I just have to go with, and it's the fact that, I mean, everybody had a crush on Jasmine. Every kid had a crush on Jasmine. And then I will also say this, the new remakes, the in-person or real live makes, I know a lot of people didn't like the new one with Jasmine. I didn't mind it, to be honest. I thought,
did they give her like a song or something against Jafar?
I think of the live action remakes they've done, it's the best one.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen the one, but I agree. Awful. Otherwise, yeah.
Lion King is just
verbatim
of the old one. It's like verbatim. I will say I would have put Mulan up there. The only problem with Mulan that I really had was the fact that they don't have fucking Mushu. You have Mushu in there, that one's the best. In terms of all around, but I don't disagree. I just know a lot of people have said they didn't like the new live action. But anyway, regardless of all of that being said, Jasmine wins. Let's move it on. Let's go.
All right, Jasmine. They always say pretty girls always win. So let's give it to Jasmine 3-1 against Cinderella, which moves us on to the fourth matchup. Ariel from The Little Mermaid against Aurora from Sleeping Beauty. I'd be kind of interested to hear an argument in Aurora's favor on this one. Let's start it off with Kevin.
Let's give the vote to the second hottest Disney princess, Ariel,
and move it on. All right. I had a feeling it would go in this direction, and I support it. I'll go second on this one. What does Aurora do anything the entire movie? I'm trying to remember in Sleeping Beauty. She wakes up at the end, right?
Wakes up at the end, but she makes a cake and everything with the fairy godmother. She goes away.
Oh, that's right. She's in the, she's like being raised by the fairy godmother, correct?
And she's let's not sleep on her look. She was not bad looking.
Yeah, let's say, like, if we're talking hotness wise, not bad. Although, you know, Ariel the fishtail could be a plus or a minus depending who you're talking to.
True.
Depending who you're talking to. So Ariel against Aurora, I mean, Aurora doesn't do anything. So what's the point? Ariel is like a kind of, she's a fun character, unique looking. The mermaid thing's cool. I would say one of the more interesting princesses, hypothetically, with the collecting the gadgets from the surface. She has some of the greatest princess songs, I think. You know, Whole New World is not Whole New World. God damn it. What is it? The one they're singing with the world above them. Kelly's going to kill me because she loves that song. Up there, I'm going to start singing unless you guys give me the title.
Part of your world.
Part of your world. There it is. It had world in it. All right. Let's see. I'm going to sit here and tunelessly sing through this whole thing.
We knew what it was. We just wanted to hear you sing.
Damn it. All right. I'm giving it to Ariel. The red hair is cool. And her dad's kind of hot. Moving on to Kevin. No, Kevin already went. Am I drunk?
Kevin already went.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you have no tolerance after not drinking for 2 weeks.
My tolerance is destroyed. Yeah,
his tolerance went.
It's destroyed half a beer and I'm already drunk. Let's move on to Casey.
You know, I think Ariel gave hope to gingers around the world. even though this is one of the more recent from the old, what do we call it? I don't want to say old world because, you know, people take that biblically and shit, but from the originals, we might say, from our childhood, you know, this movie, I think, was in like the 80s, mid to late 80s.
So it was one of the early, it's the Renaissance era of the Disney films.
Yeah, it's one of the more recent ones, like, you know, right before, I think, The Lion King and things of that nature. But regardless, I agree. Aurora, she's attractive. No question. don't get it twisted. But Ariel's a badass, right? Like, she can be a fish. She can be a human. She can do it all, really. With two things, that's what she's got. You know, but I will say, I think you have to look at, again, the whole picture, the whole movie. Little Mermaid, very entertaining. I'm excited. They're supposed to be coming out a live action one of this too in now, the upcoming years.
Am I crazy? Is this the one where they're maybe making her black and everyone's getting mad? Is that Little Mermaid? It might be.
I don't know.
I think it might be. I feel like I want to Google.
Was that Annie?
Is it Little Mermaid? I swear to God, like, there was some controversy surrounding the potential live remake of Little Mermaid.
I didn't know. But, you know, regardless, I am excited to see that one with just all of the characters that come in that movie. So give my vote to Ariel.
Yes, confirmed. They cast a black actress as Ariel named Halle Bailey. This almost sounds like Halle Berry. Yeah, this is like a year and a half ago now, apparently. But people were flipping out about it. So there you go.
Classic. Well, I know they were supposed to start production in, like, I think 2020, and that all got canceled because of COVID. And so I don't know where they're at with the production of it.
What will Sebastian look like in a live action remake? Will it just be a regular looking crab? Because I'm here for it.
I'm sure it'll be similar to what they did with the animals in Lion King.
Ooh, that was like almost
CGI.
It's gonna be kind of creepy, actually.
It doesn't work with a crab, though, because crabs don't have a mouth. Like, at least a lion has a mouth you can kind of move up and down, so it's like it's talking, kind of.
No, but they also might start like moving it like it's kind of vaguely human, so it's gonna be a little bit creepy. I think so.
I want to see that. I'm interested to see what that looks like. Is flounder just a fucking regular flounder, like one of those flat, gross-looking fish? I've never seen no fat yellow flounder like flounder was. All right. Anyways, we've got a third vote for Ariel because she is both a fish and a human, as Casey pointed out. Jack, you're fourth on the board.
Yeah, I'll just give a little love here to Aurora just because the movie had a dragon in it. That was pretty cool at the end there. But yeah, Ariel, probably easy win here, but I'll give one vote to Aurora. I did enjoy that movie.
pity vote. A pity vote to Aurora. 3-1 victory for Ariel. I'm sitting here going, why the hell do we not make Aurora the 8 seed? She's not awake the entire movie. All right. So that'll wrap up round one. A quick recap. Mulan took a 4-0 sweep over Belle. Snow White lost 1-3 against Pocahontas. Jasmine won 3-1 over Cinderella. And Ariel finishes off by winning 3-1 over Aurora. Okay. So before we go to the second round, we've got a beer check-in. Casey, live from Arizona, what do you got from the Total Wine?
Yes, from the Total Wine. I have out of Button Brew House in Tucson, Arizona, their Button IPA. Pretty sweet dragon. Ooh. It's a shame Jack's not here with his love of dragons. There it is on the can art. It's kind of cool because it, again, I always talk about it. Independent craft brewery. All right.
And, we got to get one of those signs.
It's going to happen. It's got to happen. It says pour into a glass. Oh, shoot. Maybe I need to go get a glass. It says pour into a glass, keep cold, and please recycle. So
that's nice.
Cheers, boys.
Are there any particular towns in Arizona that are like big brewery hubs, Casey? I'm assuming the major cities like a Phoenix would be one, but like, are there specific areas of the state that have a lot of breweries?
Yeah. So I think your big ones are going to be Phoenix just because of the number of people that are here.
Right.
Tucson actually has a couple. This is, I'd say, I think the second or third I've seen out of Tucson. Tombstone is in Tucson. Now Buttons Brewhouse is in Tucson. Mm-hmm. Flagstaff. So up north, I mean, Flagstaff's a city in Arizona that probably should have been in Colorado.
Okay.
If that makes sense. That's just the kind of vibe you get. It's very similar to Boulder. It's a college town.
So a lot of women with unshaven armpits is what you're saying.
No, I mean, I don't know. I didn't really experience that growing up there, but at the same time, that was like 13, 14 years ago. So
who knows?
Been a minute since I've been there, but no, it's a great spot. It's you know, got a ski resort there. So it's very similar to that Colorado vibe. I think it's a hippie ski town kind of vibe, but that's now being influenced by a university. So lots of breweries up there. And I'm sure there's some in between, like in Prescott, Sedona area. But I would say those are Phoenix and Flagstaff, because they're, you know, outside of Phoenix, Flagstaff is the next, like either the second or the third largest city in the state. So, but I know there's like a one up in Page. So they're there, but it's not to the abundancy of what Colorado's got. You know, Colorado's got one, it feels like, on every other corner.
Yeah, they got a real reputation as a beer state, though. It kind of makes sense.
Absolutely.
Someday I'll make it to Arizona. I have never been there. Anyways, we're going to move on to the second round. Our first matchup is Mulan against Pocahontas. These are getting harder, boys. Let's start with Jack.
Yeah, this one's tough. Pretty much like two almost like warrior princesses here.
kind of true.
Let's see. For other factors that we will not name on this episode here, some might refer to them as side characters, sidekicks. I tend to side more with Pocahontas.
Oh.
So I will go with Pocahontas on this one, because that raccoon may or may not have been my favorite sidekick character of all Disney movies.
Somehow it always comes back to haunt us, and it always will. So Mulan will not take a point here, as I started the click on her. Pocahontas takes the point. Well done, Matt's brain. You're really letting us all down. Kevin, one on the board for Pocahontas. What do you got?
So both of these princesses are secretly magical, right?
Oh.
But you didn't know this.
I did not.
Pocahontas is magical because she can listen with her heart and understands English after one sentence to John Smith. Magic.
Wow.
Disney magic, but magic. Mulan, on the other hand, magically knows how to fire a rocket launcher at a mountain to wipe out an army of invading Huns. And if I had to decide which magical skill was more impressive, I take firing a rocket launcher over speaking English, because I can't fire a rocket launcher right now. B, I can barely speak English. So Mulan gets my vote.
Kevin's just not a romantic one bit.
Jack, who says rocket launchers can't be romantic?
That's true.
Not in Disney, they can't.
I think the ATF covers that.
Yeah, I live more in the Team America world,
Jack. All right. I'll go third on this one. So actually kind of a hard one. Well, I'm going to use a previous argument that we were hearing from some of the other hosts. Pocahontas is definitely, in my opinion, the hotter of the two, but Mulan's more interesting. So do I follow my heart or do I follow my penis? That's the real question on this podcast.
Well, let's be true to yourself, Matt. What have you done for your entire life?
Yes, you know, that's a great argument, Jack. So we're going to put 1 point to Pocahontas and move on. Let's get down to business. All right, Casey, which organ will you choose?
I think we're gonna get the whale.
This one, the brain. Yeah. This one's easy. Like, I don't even know why we're in this situation. One wasn't a great movie. It was okay. And the other one was fantastic. You had a badass warrior princess, as Kevin put it. And the other one was, you know, wasn't even the focal point of the movie. So I think that's pretty easy. Mulan should have run away with this, but instead we got to do this goddamn wheel thing.
All right. We had to have at least one wheel, boys. All right. Mulan against Pocahontas. We've got a tie. Time to spin that motherfucking wheel. And Jack, one of the biggest, I'm going to say, Pilate hates the fucking wheel.
I love the wheel.
Well, Jack is frequently victimized by the wheel. I'll say that.
Not lately.
He's a rare victory.
He's been on a hot strike.
Yeah, not lately.
And to be fair, I feel like I'm going to regret winning this one because there's going to be another one, like in a bracket down the road, that I'm going to want it to land on me so much more.
Hey, boys, I'm going to ask you a real honest question right now. Who the fuck did Jack vote for?
What are you Pocahontas. Talking about? Pocahontas.
He voted for Miko.
Have I mentioned I'm tired? Christ,
dude. I'm a water.
I'm tired.
Oh, yeah, I'm tired. That's the excuse.
Yeah, I know. I'm hammered after this 3/4 of a beer, man. Apparently. Okay. So.
It's really easy, Matt. It's really easy to get out of beer drinking shape. It's a lot harder to get, you know, back in it than it is out of it. So it makes sense.
Well, I'm working out as we speak.
Well, it's a good thing it wasn't out of it that long.
That's what would have happened 2 weeks. If I finished dry January? I would have been dead. Like two sips of a beer would have killed me.
You'd be on the floor right now.
You'd look like Brad Pitt at the beginning of Benjamin Button.
That's funny.
Now that's my Disney princess. Anyways, Pocahontas will take a 3-2 win over Mulan with that wheel victory. We move on to the second matchup of the second round. It's Jasmine against Ariel. Another two strong ones, in my opinion. I'm going to knock my vote right out of the way, boys. I kind of don't give two shits about Jasmine besides the fact that she is hot, but Ariel is also kind of hot, and she's much more of an interesting character and funny, and there's more going on with her. And I almost said it was the better movie, but actually Aladdin's really good. So that would have been a wrong argument to make. I'm going to give one to Ariel for me. Pretty easy, actually. Next, let's go to Kevin.
So both of these rather attractive princesses are flawed.
Ooh.
All right, they're flawed. On one hand, Jasmine's relationship is built on lies, and she doesn't recognize Aladdin when he puts on a damn turban. I mean, Lois Lane, Clark Kent much here? Come on. On the other hand, Ariel screws up the entire movie and gets rewarded in the end when Eric kills Ursula. She does almost nothing except fuck up the entire time.
That's fair.
And then gets rewarded with happily ever after. So we're picking between two deeply flawed individuals here. So it's kind of a lesser of two evils for me. In this case, I'm still going to have to go with the one that was in a movie involving Robin Williams. Jasmine gets my vote.
Completely
illogical, but again, you know, these are both flawed individuals. So I'll be flawed too.
That is a good point. Ariel does fuck up a lot in that movie. That almost makes her repick my thing. I'm going to think about that one. Jack, go ahead.
Yeah, she gets rewarded for being stupid. You can't do that. So we got to go with Jasmine. She doesn't really do much, but she doesn't make critical mistakes. She just kind of lives in the movie. Doesn't work smarter, not harder, right?
You know, it's funny. Kind of going through this bracket, I'm starting to realize that most of these princesses are kind of boring. Sure. I feel like most of them don't really do anything.
Jasmine gets my vote.
Unless it's the princess that got eliminated, which is Mulan. The one princess that
got
eliminated.
Right. It's a fucking joke.
Well, unfortunately, Mulan didn't make as good of friends because she wasn't friends with a raccoon.
Really? No, you're friends with a dragon.
Her ultimate dragon.
That would have eaten a fucking raccoon.
That wasn't a dragon. That was like a caterpillar.
It's like a snake. Still
something that could eat.
Dishonor on you, Jack. Dishonor on your cow. Dishonor.
Long live Miko. That is being avenged tonight.
This is a cathartic experience for Jack. You could feel his relief from here. Casey, speaking of people that are, maybe not getting their revenge, go ahead.
Yeah, it's Jasmine. Like, this isn't even close. Let's move on.
All right. We've got 3-1 for Jasmine. See you later, Ariel. I think we all know why Jasmine moved forward. And you know what? I'll support it. I'm not upset. Okay, so a quick recap around two. Mulan unfortunately lost in a tiebreaker vote to Pocahontas, making it a 3-2. And Jasmine took a pretty hearty 3-1 victory over Ariel. Okay, so before we get to the third round, we've got a three-man check-in. I'll start us off. This is a beer that's been sitting in my fridge for a couple of months, and I've been meaning to drink, and I'm excited to try it. It's from two very good breweries doing a collab up here. It is New Haven, or actually North Haven's, Skygazer Brewing Company out of 12%. I talk about them a lot. I actually gave them my Brewery of the Year for 2021. They make fantastic sours. And another fantastic sour brewery up out of, I think, Keene, New Hampshire. It's definitely in southern New Hampshire. It's Branch and Blade Brewing. They made a collab called Eclectic Dove, which is a sour ale with blackberry, banana, and peanut butter. Put it inside me. Kevin, you're up on the board.
Alrighty, I'm drinking a beer from Liquid Gravity in San Luis Obispo, California, by the name of Pale from the Crypt. And it's got a cool logo on it. It's got nice. This, like Tales of the Crypt, kind of artsy horror story. And this is a guy in a guillotine. Yeah, you can really see a guy in a guillotine get his head cut off.
That's very
elaborate. Down the left side, it's got this little featuring and then little portraits of the brewmasters. And then this horror portrait of the brewmasters, kind of face melded together. The Hop Witch and the Malt Keeper. So it's their staff, right? All the brewers who contributed to making it on the side as the monsters of this. That's particular
cool. I like that
film. So let's just see how this tastes.
Quick update. Eclectic Dove is delicious. It tastes like a peanut butter and banana sandwich with some jelly thrown in there. All right, Kevin, live update. How's it taste?
Pretty good. It tastes like a West Coast pale, so it's got a little bit of hop to it. So it's a bite to it. So it's not like that double pale ale that I had the other week, which I really, 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 really liked.
Was that the Half Acre one, right?
Yeah. I really want to go to Chicago now, so I'll go to Half Acre because that was really good. Mm. But this is pretty good too in that it's a hoppy pale. So think of a West Coast version of an IPA. This is a West Coast IPA to a pale. So it's got a little bit of hop bite to it. Quite nice.
All right. Doesn't sound bad. Jack, you're our third beer drinker.
This is not the beer I'm checking in, but I will point out one of Matt's favorite places in Raleigh, Fun Guys, has come out with an orange creamsicle cheesecake smoothie sour.
Baby.
that is delicious. But the beer I am having is part of my beer trade. Trillium Franklin Park IPA. It's very melony, a little piney, different, but very good, actually. Very refreshing.
I would like Trillium a bit more if they lower the price of their beers. I will say that. My God, I don't want to buy a $26 4-pack.
Oh, nope. I don't either.
Are they more expensive than Treehouse?
Yeah, definitely. Treehouse's prices actually are not that terrible for that level of beer. Usually they're not more than 20. Versus Trillium, it's usually in the 24 plus range, or a lot of their beers are in the 24 plus range, which is at that point, I'm like, stupid. That's too much. That's too much. I'm like an $18 four pack for a fancy four pack of beer kind of guy. Okay, so we're going to go to the last matchup. It's going to be Pocahontas. I'm kind of shocked Pocahontas made the last round against Jasmine. Casey is shaking his head, so he must have a great opinion. Let's hear it.
I mean, this is like living a nightmare all over. The fucking joke. I'm baffled. God, for the love of God, let this just be the end of it. But this is really easy for me. Pocahontas, okay movie. Not really the focal point of the movie. Everyone talks about these stupid sidekicks, so they must be the goddamn point of the movie. But you know what? Jasmine? Who doesn't love Jasmine? And I dare any kid, male or female, that doesn't either fall in love with her or want to be her, okay? It's at some point in their childhood. And why is that? Because she's the best princess. Pocahontas isn't even a princess. Let's be real. She's not.
I mean, she's the daughter of the chieftain, who's kind of like the king. Yeah, ish.
Yeah, all right. It's a stretch.
But close. Yeah. It's close.
Not to the level of Pocahontas, God damn it, to Jasmine. This is really, 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 really easy. And for the love of God, please let everybody agree with this. Let's move Jasmine to be the champion.
All right. A strong vote for Jasmine. Let's go to Jack for our second vote.
I mean, this is a tough one. Both of these are good. I mean, you got Kevin's future wife and Jasmine and Casey's mortal enemy, just, you know, and Pocahontas.
No, mortal enemy are the little fucking raccoon and hummingbird.
And does that make me Jafar or Aladdin?
Definitely Jafar.
Yeah. Jafar. You got to go with your heart in these things, right? And I'd like to kind of see what happens to this train if this ends up the way I hope it does. I'm going to go with the raccoon, Pocahontas, and I'm going to take Pocahontas.
All right. This train ain't got no brakes, baby. Pocahontas on the board, 1-1. Kevin with the hand up, the third.
Oh, I'm gonna volunteer to go next year because I might be able to make an argument that sways you. Maybe not in the way I expect, because I know you opposed Solar Mains, Matt. But so in the previous round, I outlined why Jasmine was a problematic character, right? I'm gonna go with the backstories here now with these two particular characters, right? Jasmine completely made up. So what's the backstory there? Pocahontas, based on a love affair between a guy in his late 30s and a 12-year-old. So problematic.
Well, we found Kevin's vote.
It also, it also was the start of a great genocide. So I found Matt's vote. Accurate. And I'm going to have to give it to Jasmine. I mean, I'd rather have the one that's not inspiring genocide or, you know, pedophilia. Or whatever the hell that proper term is for it. Go ahead and vote for Pocahontas right now. Go ahead.
Do I need to bring up Padme Amidala, Kevin? How old was she?
She was actually older than I was at the time.
Bullshit. All right. Okay. So we've got a vote on the board for Jasmine, 2-1. So I actually think this is kind of a clear cut one for me. I do like the character of Pocahontas. I think the reason I kind of like her, not talk from a sexiness, standpoint, as we've been using. I like how the character's drawn, like very angular, like the dress was cool and the tattoos and the necklace and like her jumping off waterfalls and shit. I think it's a very cool looking, like nimble, agile character. But to be honest, Pocahontas as a character, I don't know, doesn't have like a ton of personality. Compared to Jasmine, there's more going on there. Definitely more of an iconic Disney princess. I do think she definitely deserves to be in the finals. A very strong character, even though I haven't really been voting in her favor. I do like her still. I think she's one of the weakest of like the top kind of three, like big main ones, in my opinion. But between the two, I think I would give it to Jasmine. I'm going to be honest. I wanted to kind of spite vote with Pocahontas a little bit, but I'm going to follow my heart on this one. I think Jasmine is a little more of an interesting, kind of colorful character that fits into the framework of that movie a little bit better. Pocahontas is just, I don't know, falls in love with a genocidal white soldier. It's kind of a little bit weird. And Kevin is right. If you look at the background of that movie, it is creepy. So definitely a couple points against it. So I'm giving it to Jasmine. Sorry, Nico. Definitely a better side character than Raj. Not even close. If we're going to have that argument again. The winner is Nico. Actually, it's Jasmine. 3-1 over Pocahontas, ending the Disney Princess Bracket, our champion. I'm going to end the tournament right here so we can get a runner-up. What do we got? Well, obviously Pocahontas, who took two wins and a one loss. And the third is a tie between Ariel and Mulan. So that seems like a pretty strong upper echelon of Disney princesses. I think we knocked out the right ones. Except I bet some people are going to be mad about Mulan falling out.
Well, except for the old Cinderella at number two there. Pocahontas shouldn't have been there.
I actually kind of like Cinderella, so I would have been artist Cinderella. All right, boys. I'll throw this one open. Are there any Disney princesses of note that we missed in making this bracket that we wanted to bring? We like to mention some runners up here, even in the bracket challenges.
We were keeping it to the classics, but you obviously have the Frozen people.
the 3D movies, Elsa and Anna. You have Moana. Yeah.
Anna? It's Anna.
Anna, bro. Whatever.
Fucking hell.
That movie sucks.
What about Megara or Meg from Hercules?
Oh, strong. Yeah, it's like that's another one where it's like very good female character. Not really borderline. A princess, though, I think. But yes, a good one. A very good one.
A lot of sass, a lot of attitude. I liked her.
What was the name of the girl in Princess and the Frog? I can't remember her name. I'm struggling on that one.
Oh, yeah. Does it start with a Tiana?
Yeah, I was going to say it's a T or something like that.
And that movie was actually, I only watched it like a year and a half ago for the first time. It was actually a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Like, she wasn't bad, but again, I don't know. She wasn't like a top eight contestant, really. So anyways, that is the end of the Disney Princess bracket. Send your hate mail to counterpintspodcast@gmail.com. Our voicemail number is still open. We're going to move on to our conclusion section, which starts with the brewery of the week. I think Jack wanted to highlight a brewery, and then Kevin wanted to talk about a recent trip to Seattle. So a double whammy.
Yeah. So I took a little trip up to the Asheville area this weekend and stumbled upon a little mountain town, Black Mountain, and they had a really small nano brewery called Black Mountain Brewing. And Kristen and I walked in there. We're the only people in. They had just opened. And I had asked the guy, like, do you guys do flights? He's like, yeah, how many do you want? And he's like, do you just want to try everything? Yeah, you guys do yeah, that,
brother.
Like, yeah, we can do that for you. So yeah, literally they poured every beer. Just like, awesome. You know, had a really nice rooftop spot. Like, man, good service goes a long way. Their beers are actually pretty solid. Nothing like crazy great. They did have a nice Fluffernutter sour that was quite solid. Little raspberry marshmallow peanut butter goodness. But yeah, cool spot. Highly recommend it. Any place that does the flights where you could try them all is just awesome.
How many beers was it, Jack?
It wasn't a lot. I think it was about, it was either 8 or 9. And one of them was a seltzer. But it was still cool and nice. That's
fire.
To do that.
Absolutely.
All right, Black Mountain Brewing out in Black Mountain, North Carolina. Go check it out. Kevin, what the hell's going on in Seattle, Washington?
Well, so I was doing some bachelor party scouting up in Seattle just to kind of get the lay of the land, figure out where we're going to go for Jacko's bachelor party there. Mm. So I hit a number of breweries, not from Seattle, but still there. Actually, two facilities there, Great Notion, based in Portland. Good beer. If you can find Double Peaches and Cream Shake, was a peaches and cream sour. Fantastic. Mm. Went to Fremont. Been there a couple of times out at this point. Great brewery. Number of small ones, Urban Family Brewery, but the Holy Mountain Brewery is a well-regarded one in the area. And if we go, that's definitely on our list. But I think the first one on our list that some of us might like, Jack, I'm sorry, you might not like this, because it's a wild ale, spontaneously fermented, vaguely sour kind of brewery place.
Absolutely.
Fair Isle Brewing. They're not really sours, Jack, but they kind of have their fruity wild ale flavor. They make some of the cleanest, purest wild ales you'll ever have. I only had 4 beers there, and I loved every single one of them. They're not, if you check out my Untappd, I didn't rate them as highly as you'd think. They're not all 5s. But they're all really, really good wild ales. Bianca and Isabel, 2 great examples of wild ales from Fair Isle Brewing Co. So it's on the list. I think we're definitely going to go there.
Fair Isle. All right. I still have yet to be in the state of Washington. I look forward to seeing some of those breweries someday.
Like ever?
Like ever. Never been. Nope.
What about Oregon?
Nope. Been to California. That's it. Only West Coast state.
So in Washington, by the way, Casey, because I did some tours and I know you have some affiliation with Idaho. I did not realize that salmon went all the way from the Puget Sound to the Idaho border. That is freaking insane.
Do you remember salmon that?
Are really dumb.
I would actually argue the opposite. No.
Why would you go through
Casey,
all that?
Casey,
to breed?
Casey, don't touch it, Casey. Don't you're touch right, it, Casey.
Salmon?
Right. Don't touch it. Yeah.
So, Jesus Christ. I don't know if I think I've mentioned it maybe when I was doing one of the pods from Idaho. There's a brewery in Boise that's called Sockeye Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah.
So they have a beer that's called Lonesome Larry Lager. And Lonesome Larry was one of the last sockeye salmon that made it from the Puget Sound all the way up to inside far into Idaho. They released all these salmon. I don't remember what year or time frame this was, but he was the only one that made it all the way back, which is, you know, and obviously that's not a remarkable thing considering, especially on the Columbia, all the dams that they've put for hydroelectricity. So for him to be able to do that is pretty incredible. Now, there's a huge project right now going on that they're actually in the process of creating these like
They're like fish ladders. They're fish ladders.
Fish ladders. Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. A ladder around each dam so that the salmon can get up and continue up the upstream on the Columbia River, which, you know, it's like a multi-billion.
Actually, I saw one of those. When I saw one of those fish ladders at the locks in Seattle, it's kind of nuts. It literally is just a bunch of tanks that the salmon can use to kind of like hop up and get around the dam. It's pretty cool.
It's impressive. Yeah. And they're like, some of the dams are massive on the Columbia. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, massive. And they're like switchbacks, like as if you were hiking up a canyon ridge. So you like, they go up here, then they go up back, then they go back up, and they all the way until they reach the
top.
The top of the dam. I mean, it's impressive. It was a lot of fun. Anyway. But
I think we're boring our co-host. We really have to start this history and salmon side podcast.
It would go
absolutely for years.
Absolutely. Actually,
imagine that's how you breed, is you swim like hundreds of miles upstream. Like, it's amazing salmon have survived this many years.
Not everyone has a bathtub, Matt.
Exactly.
Fucking hell.
Maybe they should invest in one.
Shit.
All right. We're going to move on to best beer of the cast. Each host. What was your favorite beer that you had? Let's go one at a time, starting with Jack.
Yeah, this one's pretty easy. Surprise, surprise. We'll take the Treehouse beer. We'll go very hazy. It's delicious. I think I gave it a 4.5. Very, very good. Very smooth. Very creamy.
Yeah, I think it's one of their better straight up IPAs. I'll go second. Also kind of an easy one for me. Both solid, but the West Coast, which was, let me double check here, going back to Cali. It's fine. It's just like a fairly hoppy, bitter West Coast IPA. It's not doing anything that interesting. The Eclectic Dove, however, very good. It's like a peanut butter and jelly kind of sour. I always like those, and it does a good job. It's very thick and has a rich taste to it. Solid. I'll give it like a... It's definitely going in the 4 range. Kevin, what was your favorite?
I'm going to zag here. I'm actually kind of surprised by myself at this. I thought I was going to go with this Longest Night, you know, smoothie-style sour ale. But I'm really liking this pale from the Crypt. This is a really good pale ale. And you know what? The pale ale actually beat the smoothie style sour today. It never happens, but hey.
That's unusual for you.
Huh? Pocahontas made it to the final round. So
Pocahontas.
Fucking crazy here today.
Breaking all sorts of records. Casey, what do you got?
Yeah, so I'm going to follow kind of what Matt said and go with the West Coast style IPA. From Button Brew House in Tucson, Arizona. Really good. I gave it a 3.7. Was actually quite surprised by it. And just the taste. Maybe next time I will listen to the can and drink it in a glass. But even without drinking in a glass, it was still freaking good. So excited. Maybe one of these days I'll have to make it down to Tucson. The only problem with that is just Tucson. Not a lot going down.
No.
A lot going on down there other than the university. So. Huh. You might have a better chance at, well, never mind. I'm not going to say it. Some bad things or illegal things happening down there. So, but you never know. Maybe a quick brew trip can occur.
Casey, was it Arizona where that guy just like fell into a canyon recently? I'm trying to remember. I don't know why that's reminding me of that, but
I mean, people fall in the Grand Canyon like every year.
I always wonder why.
Tens of them do, and quite a few don't live. So yeah, if that's the canyon you're talking about.
Here you go. I found it, Casey. I was right. Hiker falls 700 feet to death while taking selfie on a peak in the Superstition Mountains near Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah. Superstitions are right over there.
Yeah, it was on Monday. He fell off a cliff like 700 feet and died taking a selfie of himself. Classic.
It's ridiculous. So the amount of accidental deaths at the Grand Canyon, and I can only speak to the Grand Canyon, but accidental deaths at the Grand Canyon due to selfies actually increased. Obviously, as selfie became a thing, but you know, accidental deaths were, you know, they happened quite a bit, but the frequency of them, or just falls, not just deaths, but falls, because of people taking selfies at the Grand Canyon is actually like, it's a crazy stat. Like it like jumped up like 20 or 30% or something like that.
Good. Good. Darwinism.
Goodbye.
They don't all die.
That's true. According to this news article, between 2011 and 2017, Journal of Family Medicine and Primary Care listed 259 people died taking selfies.
Yep.
So you're averaging what, like 50 people a year? Something like that?
But you're also skimming off the bottom, though, too. So you're killing the dumbest ones, hopefully.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and you're also like, that's just people who died. I mean, I bet you it's probably close to 1,000 people that fell off of a trail or something along that line due to taking a selfie.
I'll say this too. Apparently, this is like at like midnight. It was late at night that this happened. So he was trying to take like a night selfie with himself, like next to a canyon click. What are you doing?
Stupid.
What are you doing, dude?
That is really dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
Really
dumb. I'm sure just like a piece of earth just gave way. Couldn't see. Like, ugh, what a way to go. That's or scary,
he
just man.
Tripped because he couldn't see.
Yep. Yep.
Anyway, well.
R.I.P. to that guy. All right.
Yeah, exactly. I feel bad, but come on, bro. Be smarter.
I don't. Anyway, so we're moving on to the last call, a final comment, question, joke, anything you want before we wrap up this episode 60 of Counterpints Podcast. I'll go first, boys. Just, you know, to our audience, if you want to do dry in January, you can do it. Don't use my example to, you know, dampen your hopes of improving yourself. Some of us are weak. I was weak. I apologize to our audience. You can do it. I hated it, and I won't be doing it again, but I encourage you to try, because I will say this. I did lose weight, which I'm pretty sure I've gained back over the last week and a half. Shout out to Chick-fil-A, Taco Bell, and Wendy's. Also Nardelli's Grinders and D'Angelo's. It takes a village, is what they say. So I may have failed there, but there will be other opportunities for self-improvement. But Daddy need a drinky. Jack, last call.
Yeah, I guess we're going to send our thoughts and prayers to the starving people of Connecticut. I guess there's a food shortage there now. Oh, my God.
Ooh, yikes. Can our deli sponsor this podcast? God damn, they make a good chicken cutlet. Fuck me, Ronnie.
My last call, shout out to our new listener. She told me to do this. Lucy, she was one of the people who came to Black Mountain in Asheville with us. Good friend of Kristen's.
Nice.
We also went to Highland on her birthday. Ooh. And out of 24 teams, came in second in pub trivia. Oh, ho, ho. Got a little gift cardy action there. So shout out to Lucy, our
did
newest
buy, did
listener.
You buy a sweatshirt with the gift card?
No, the sweatshirts were too cheap. They were like $5.
Oh, my God. You're really overpaying.
Yeah, we just got beer with it. You know, normal stuff.
Fair enough. We played trivia yesterday at local, actually they're on the podcast, Gamecraft Arcade Bar, and we did not win because we got smoked at Nickelodeon trivia. Apparently people know a lot about SpongeBob, even more than I would have ever thought. Very hard trivia. Kevin, last call.
Kind of similar vein to Jack here. Shout out to a buddy who I think started listening to the pod very recently, my buddy Brian, who is a lead brewer at St. Archer Brew Co.
Ooh, so, you mentioned him before, I'm pretty sure.
I did. I did last podcast because he worked for St. Archer. St. Archer got bought by a brand by the name of Kings and Convicts. They just bought St. Archer a couple years ago. They bought Ballast Point. So they're moving up in the world. He sounds like he gets to keep his job. The new brewery listened to a lot more R&D work, so I'm very happy for him. His birthday's coming up too, so happy birthday, Brian.
Oh, that's nice. Is he cute?
He's taken. He's got a girlfriend.
Okay. Well, Brian, if you ever change your mind, let me know. Casey, last call.
All right, so I got one, and then I got a real one. So my first one, though, is going to be real quick. Shout out.
Double last call. I don't think that's this right. is really allowed, but we're going to let it go.
Don't give a fuck. I'm going to do it anyway. First one's real quick. Shout out to David Ortiz, Big Poppy, being voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Dude deserves it. He's the only person voted in on this year's ballot. First time ballot.
We got to talk about the guys who didn't get voted in because they deserve not to get voted in.
Well, I guess
right?
we're extending this a little bit.
Oh, let's go. Let's go. Let's talk about sports.
Okay. Matt, welcome. If you just want to go on mute.
Yeah. Okay, guys, this has been fun. I'm going to go on mute. I'm going to go run a couple laps around my apartment. I'll be back.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But shout out to Big Poppy. Suit really deserves it. But Kevin is right. There was a couple guys in particular that did not make it and can now technically, unless the rules are changed, will not make it into the Hall of Fame. First one being Barry Bonds, as well as Roger Clemens. They both fell off. This was their last year, last opportunity. And they are no longer on the ballot come next year. So
was it Sammy Sosa's last year too?
Was it? I thought his was last year.
Oh, okay. Maybe he got passed last year, but either way, he didn't make it either. So like these guys who were tainted by steroids, they didn't make it in. Meanwhile, the Big Poppy, according to his SNL promos, eats nothing but Mofongo, and that gets him right in. You guys didn't see that? Yeah. Keenan Thompson did the Big Poppy parody. Yeah, that's how I know Big Poppy, and it's like a great parody. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the dude deserved it without question. He's actually tied for first with the most walk-off home runs ever in MLB history. So that's kind of interesting. And then the real last call is I did a little bit of a brewery tour this last weekend of Arizona. It was the first like full weekend in Arizona. Wanted to kind of get out and see some places. Went to this great spot, Fate Brewing. If the boys ever come out to Arizona, we're going to go here. Beer's pretty good. But the food, ladies and gentlemen, yummy, 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 yummy. And great spot, outdoor seating. They love dogs as well, so dogs are always welcome. Good indoor spot, good beer selection all in all. They did have a couple gold winners from the GABF, but also like the American Brew Fest or something along those lines. Their past winners, 2018 and 2019, respectively, but still winners. And I'm telling you that pretty good, but the food was yummy.
I don't care about the beer. Hang on. I'm on their website. I'm looking at pictures of the food. And the guys, Matt, if you let me, I'll share pictures of the food if you want.
Casey, this isn't one. Did you talk about this?
Great question.
Is this the French toast? Is this the French toast one or some shit?
No. That's Oso. That was
Oso. Thank you. Did he talk about this one?
No, that place has got great food too, and we will go there as well.
Apparently, that's a theme in Arizona. Absolutely, good food.
I'm telling you, dude. I'm telling you right now, the one like for Colorado having great beer, the one thing they lacked in was like legit food. Arizona is crushing the food game.
Interesting.
Let me tell you. In just 2 weeks of living here, Arizona is absolutely crushing the food game. So that's exciting. But yes, you heard that right. The French toast, that's Oso. I'd already been there. But so Fate, I thought you were going to say, Matt, that there was a Fate Brewing in Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, my God.
And yes, there was.
I did not know that.
Sorry. So, dang, I thought I read your mind.
Casey got excited. He's like, yeah.
Yeah. No, there was a Fate Brewing in Boulder, Colorado, but they're totally different.
Ah.
Then I want to give this a shout out. We went to another place called North Mountain. Not good. So let's shout just move out. On. North Mountain. Thank you for the letter N on the alphabet game, but that's about as good as it got.
That's funny.
I mean, it was. It also wasn't as bad as D9. So like.
Shout out.
Take that into account. But it wasn't like exceptional. But the place that takes it, ladies and gentlemen, Wren House is as advertised. It is one of the
you were number dropping some one, serious ratings at Wren House.
Oh, it is one of the number one up and coming breweries, not just in Arizona, but in the Southwest. On a bunch of different websites beer rating.
How far is Wren House from you?
Like 25 minutes.
Oh, not
like,
bad dude, at
it's
all.
So doable. Oh yeah. And the beer is legit. And Matt didn't believe me. When I put this on Untappd, they have some IPAs, some New England IPAs they're up there with Treehouse.
The Treehouse in the Southwest
are fucking delicious. And I say that with all honor, because I'm rocking the Treehouse merch from the Cape Cod location there.
Nice.
In Sandwich. But dude, Wren House is legit. And actually, Nate from he's not Nate from Charlotte. Nate from Winston-Salem.
There you go.
Shout out to Nate from Winston-Salem. He and I were chatting earlier today on Untappd, and he went to Wren House. I think it was like last year, the year before.
Nice.
And said it was legit. And I totally agree with him. So shout out Nate. I told him he needs to drop a voicemail at some point soon. But yeah, Wren House. Yeah. Wren House, when you guys come, that's a must, because that beer is fucking legit. Yeah,
they made it out here to the Untappd Beer Fest in San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
And they had the biggest line of the entire fest. And you know what? I got in line when it was short and it was damn good. So like I had their Spellbinder, for instance. Like Casey, I see you had it.
I had that.
Didn't get that many out here because it was like fest beer, but I'm sure it was far better at the brewery. So I'm kind of jealous of that.
I want to try their Las Fresca. Like they have a bunch of different ones. They only had one on tap when I was there, because it kind of rotates seasonally with the fruit. but they have a couple in the cans, but we were trying to hit up a number of these breweries. So I didn't get to spend a lot of time there, or like as much time as I wanted, but I still got in. I don't even remember how many I checked in, but I would say I probably got about 8.
Yeah, you were slamming them in there. I was like, damn, these seven a day right now.
Yeah, I mean, Alyssa said she would drive, so I was like, fucking, all right, challenge accepted. Let's go.
Goodbye.
So I had a great time at Renthouse. And then, oh, okay, this is when mm-hmm. I knew, like, life was good. And that I almost wanted to be like, I wish I had, like, the Counterpoint shirt on or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
A guy comes up to me. Dude, I'm checking in beers, right? Like, I'm crushing tasters. They don't do tasters. They do 5-ounce pours. And you can only get 2 at a time.
Okay,
so I'm literally sitting there like, okay, rate it. That's good. And then on to the next, right? So I can get as many as I can. This dude from Wisconsin's like sitting like, I don't know, in the back corner of the outside seating area. He comes up to me. See, I got on tap. He goes, are you Casey? I was like, maybe. Who's asking? He's like, oh no, I just saw your on Untapped, and man, you're just getting after it today. And I was like, hell yeah. And
nice.
He was like, what are you drinking? And I was like, oh man, like, I'm drinking this, I'm drinking that. And he goes, man, I really am enjoying your ratings. And I was like, well, hey, so I gave him a sticker.
Nice. There you go.
Because I had this sticker. So I'm hoping
new fan, Wisconsin, this guy man, from shout
Wisconsin
out.
Shouts, starts listening to the pod. Cause I was like, yeah, we have a podcast. It's called Counterpoint
City.
And I was like, oh wait, I think I have an extra sticker here. And I like handed it to him. I was, oh, this is awesome. Yeah, we love Wisconsin. And you know, obviously the beer's good there. And I was like,
Chippewa Falls, baby.
Hey, I was like, if the boys, I was like, I was like,
house.
Honestly, the dude was so nice. He'd probably let us, and he probably want to come with us. I was like, oh, you know, we love a summer shandy from Line and Cougar. He's like, oh yeah, who doesn't? You can, and he even admits you can drink.
I'll tell you who around. Doesn't.
Yeah, what? Jack.
He's on this podcast.
His name is Kevin.
Yeah,
I think the evidence says otherwise, Jack.
Who is this?
That is true, actually. Kevin loves him more than any of us. What am I talking about?
Dude, I can't believe I forgot to. Yeah, I totally spaced on him, but now I'm glad I remembered him. But yeah, dude, it was awesome. And that's I was like, funny. No, we've talked about getting up to Wisconsin because I was like, we also want to go see Line and Google. And
so he's
like,
travel.
Oh man, come on up. I'll show you. Like, I'll give you all these recommendations. I was like, dude, this is fucking fire.
I love it. Wisconsin, man, leave us a voicemail with Wisconsin brewery recommendations. We want it.
Gave me this one.
Drop us a line, baby.
Trying to
take me out to dinner
real quick.
There's only one brewery in Wisconsin I'll be going to.
I can't find it.
Liney Lodge.
Liney Lodge.
I still wish Kelly could hook us up fat with that one.
You know, the problem is I don't think she's seeing that family as much anymore. R.I.P. R.I.P.
What if you let her see that family more?
Really?
Casey.
The greatest failure she has to us in our relationship.
Casey, was it New Glarus?
It doesn't sound right.
New Glarus makes just a ton of stouts and sours. They're fantastic.
Mm-mm-mm.
That doesn't sound right.
That's all right. There's also an Oso brewery there too. O apostrophe S-O.
Oso 2. Here it is.
Yeah.
Oso V2.
Nice.
Boy.
All right, that's my last call. Sorry, it was a little long, but I had to.
All right, well, after Casey's 4 last calls have concluded, we're going to wrap up this podcast, boys. This was episode 60. Our dear listeners, as always, check us out on our socials. Counterpints is the name. Social media is the game. We've got an Instagram and an Untappd, our two most accurate and active, is what I meant to say, at the same time. Go check them out. Our voicemail number is 774-224-0708. If you're a huge fan, you made it all the way to the end, and you just love Counterpints, why don't you wear it? Go to counterpints.redbubble.com. Go buy some shit. Anything you buy does support this podcast. We use it for crap like recording equipment and subscription fees and yada, yada, yada. Just kidding. I pocket it and buy drugs. So with that, that's the end of episode 60. We'll see you on episode 61 coming soon. Maybe a little bit of love will be in the air. We'll find out. But until then, keep drinking and, you know, stay frosty out there for us. What a wonderful world. What a wonderful world.